Kings, very good afternoon. It's Niall Boylan with you for the next hour or so. We are going to be talking about traffic. Before I do that, by the way, there's a lot to talk about. And a lot happened over the weekend, as you are all very aware at this stage. And it's gone viral on Twitter, but it hasn't appeared in any of the newspapers or it hasn't appeared in any of the news outlets. And I'll tell you why in a second. But of course, in case you haven't been following the story is of a reporter who is doing a documentary stoke podcast for News Talk. That reporter is seen in a video which has gone viral in a hotel room, what seems like a hotel room, with two other guys, you know, writing slogans on flags, which were later used, by the way, in an altercation in Coolock with protesters or people who were standing by their rights to not have immigrants in their area. Now, of course, there has been accusations made that there was a setup and all sorts of things. And from what you can see, it clearly looks that way. There has been no statement yet from Paul Connolly, the producer of the documentary. And there has been no statement yet from News Talk in relation to that. And that's why the media, probably many people are frustrated that the media haven't covered the story yet, where it's all over social media. There is a GDPR issue in relation to a lot of the stuff that was on the mobile phone was all put up on social media. And I think people should condemn that, by the way, particularly the personal stuff that went up. But in relation to what the actual accusations and allegations are against Paul Connolly and indeed News Talk, if indeed News Talk are paying Paul Connolly directly or if he's doing it as a subcontractor, I don't know because I don't know his business. But questions have to be answered. And News Talk have a responsibility and a duty to make a statement in relation to that. And I'm hoping they will. And Paul Connolly himself would have to make a statement in relation to that. To deny or admit those allegations are actually true. So I think it would be only fair that we all wait, do our due diligence, as they say, and wait and see and give people a chance to respond. Let's look at the context before we pass any judgment. And I know people are passing judgment already, and it's clear why they're passing judgment. But as a professional, I think it would be fair to wait. And hopefully a statement will come within the next 24 hours or 48 hours in relation to what has been accused or what the allegations that have been made online against Paul Connolly and against News Talk in relation to that particular protest in Coolock. And if indeed the allegations are true, it is scurrilous and it's terrible and it's awful that somebody would do that. But if indeed they're not true and there's a fair excuse for it, I can't understand what the excuse would be, but we will also find out that. So let's examine the statement before we pass judgment, or before I pass judgment anyway. In relation to that. So I just wanted to address it because I don't want people to think that I'm ignoring it, because I'm certainly not ignoring it. I looked at it just like everybody else over the weekend and I was shocked by it. I'm not going to lie to you. So let's wait and see if we get a statement from News Talk and a statement from Paul Connolly in relation to that. And then we can all pass judgment on what you believe was right and wrong in that particular incident. Now, in relation to, by the way, climate change, I see one of our main climate alarmists has been posting, stuff up saying that the temperature's gone up all over Europe and this is really unusual for April. Can I point out it's not really unusual for April? In 2007 in Ireland, we had 22 degrees in April. It was quite common. And actually, people who study the climate, etc., will tell you that when you've had a bad storm, which we had over the weekend, particularly strong winds, it would normally bring the temperature up and suck up those hot temperatures from the Sahara up into Europe. That's quite common, by the way, to have nice weather, really warm weather or unusual weather, after you would have a storm. So there's nothing unusual about that. So I'm kind of surprised by these climate alarmists that they think we're all stupid or something. Speaking of the climate, by the way, and I suppose it's all interlinked, traffic is part of the environment. And I'm reading from the journal.ie here. Members of the public, including a majority of motorists, have voiced strong support for a controversial proposal to significantly reduce car traffic in Dublin city centre. Now, I know a lot of you are not from Dublin, but this will apply to every single city in Ireland. So it's not going to be just Dublin. It's going to be Cork, it's going to be Limerick, it's going to be Galway. It's going to be everywhere else as well. But Dublin City Council said there was a strong desire for change among the public and an overwhelming support, they say, for its plans to relocate road space or reallocate road space in favour of prioritising public transport, cycling, walking and eliminating cross-city journeys by motorists. In other words, you won't be able to go from one side of the city to the other. You'll have to use the M50. And the results of the public consultation on the plan, which received almost 3,600 submissions, have revealed, according to the Dublin City Council, 81% of respondents support reducing the amount of road space for private vehicles. Eamon Ryan would be just delighted with this, really, in the city centre, including 56% of individuals who normally travel by car. So out of those submissions, are we to assume that the other 44% don't use a car at all? They use public transport and bicycles. So what are they going to say? Of course they're going to say yes. However, some councillors claim the public consultation process is flawed and discriminatory, as it appeared designed to exclude older people and those who could not access the use of their computers. The Dublin City Transport Plan, which is proposed jointly by Dublin City Council and the National Transport Authority, was approved by councillors in November, and it proposes a 40% reduction in general traffic and spaces for cars or private cars to drive in Dublin City. This is coming to a city near you, by the way. If you're from Cork, Limerick or Galway, don't think you're escaping this, by the way. So the question really is, are they right? Do you really think that people, the general public, don't want cars in the city? Now, I myself, if I was submitting my public submission, I would say absolutely not. I prefer to be in my car. I don't want to be on a bus. I pay for my car. I pay good money on my road tax. I pay for my diesel. I want to sit in my comfortable car and listen to my radio or make a phone call if that's what I need to do. Obviously, on Bluetooth. So I'd prefer to sit in my car. Okay, it might take me a bit longer, but I don't travel to the city very much, in fairness, so I'm very rarely ever stuck in that traffic. But it is one of the things, of course, you have to accept that if you drive a car through a city that you're going to get stuck in traffic. But should we reduce, as, well, it's already reduced quite substantially in Dublin, and local and small businesses in Dublin have now said, this is terrible, you're trying to destroy business in the city. But the argument from the Green Party and the National Transport Authority is, no. We want to make this like Amsterdam and Brussels and Berlin and Paris and other places like that, where you pedestrianise most of the city and people will come in on public transport and do their shopping in Grafton Street. But that's not what the businesses are saying. Brown Thomas are not very happy at all. They're suggesting they're trying to kill business completely in the city. But let me know what you think. Is it a good idea to reduce the amount of private traffic in cities by, as they say, up to 40% reduction, to force us all to use public transport or walk or use your bicycle? Let me know what you think. The number, as usual, is 085 100 22 55. That's 085 100 22 55. I nearly always give out the other phone number on the other show. You know, I get confused sometimes. That's what happens when you get a bit older. Let me go to Jackie. Jackie, hi, how are you?
I'm good, and yeah, look, isn't it madness? Absolutely madness. And I was only reading a thing there where, isn't it Owen Keegan, Dublin?
He's been there for years, Owen Keegan, years.
Yeah, no, and he wants to aggressively, not just restrict, but aggressively restrict road space for cars. Mm. I mean, that is some quote. Now, when you look at this, and I, from being close to Galway City, and I've seen this right through the years, where they actually organise the roads in a way that it build up of traffic that could create traffic jams. And I'm sure it's going on in Dublin as well, where they create the traffic.
Yeah, with the one-way systems, these kind of one-way systems, and then you've got bicycle lanes on narrow roads where you've reduced it from two lanes down to one. Yeah,
exactly.
Yeah.
Exactly. And then, so what they do is they create the problem and then provide the solution then the way they want it to go. Like, if you look at Cork City, I was only down there because we were down doing a concert there recently, to try and get the Cork Opera House, try and get parking around the Cork Opera House. It's done in a way, and if you drive around even Cork City, It's like as if they're pushing the cars outside the city completely to try and make you that you get on a bus or you get whatever. But if you're like a gigging band, which is, I get this all the time, guys ringing me going, Temple Bar, how do you get there?
Yeah, I know. How do you actually get to it?
How do you bring equipment into a venue? Now, it's becoming more and more of a problem. And then it becomes...
They have a 5-point plan for doing all of this, by the way, which is reducing the amount of parking spaces, roadside parking spaces, to eliminate all those, say, around Stephen's Green, down around near Grafton Street, off St William Street, all those. So all those parking spaces will be removed. The other thing then is a congestion charge, which means, and they will use the canals as being the city, of course. So as you pass each of the the canals on both sides of the city. There'll be cameras up above, like in London. You'll be charged a tenner for going in and tenner for going out. So they'll do that as well. There'll be loads of, and then what they'll do is they'll increase the amount of bicycle lanes, of course, and pedestrianise many, many streets. Yeah. So they'll pedestrianise O'Connell Street. They'll pedestrianise, say, up around Dame Street. They'll pedestrianise all the, well, they already want to pedestrianise around Trinity College there and all around that area, you know, where you normally turn left or turn right if you're going back down to the Keys. So they want to pedestrianise all these areas. That's all part of the plan. Eamon Ryan has this vision of Dublin looking like Amsterdam.
Oh, God. Have you walked around Amsterdam lately?
No, I haven't never been to Amsterdam in my life, by the way. Can I just point out?
Well, no. If that's a city that you would like Dublin to be... Well, now, Dublin, in fairness, has gone very bad drug-wise and all that.
Yeah.
But if you walk around Amsterdam, it's gone very dangerous. Very, very dangerous.
Yeah, so, but the idea he has of this lovely sunny picture of people cycling, you know, everywhere with their little baskets on their bikes, and you know what I mean?
Yeah, but what they're doing is, like Brown Thomas are saying, they're wiping out businesses. And it's only like the very large businesses that might be able to sustain. But the likes of the small retailers and all that, they'll be wiped out because there'll be no footfall. Because who's going to come in and try and bring stuff on a bus or a train, carry stuff, get a taxi, get to the train station, all that. And you might have various items that you'd need two or three people to carry them. You know, whereas you can drive in your car, pull up, open your boot, in goes your stuff, and away you go.
Okay, but do me a favour, stay there, because I want you to stay with me, Jackie, because I want to go to Morris and Saoirse as well. Morris, hi, how are you?
How you doing, Niall?
Morris, I mean, it sounds like a lovely plan and you know what I mean, and all that kind of thing, but it's not very practical, is it?
No, I just sent in some information there to your team about a green person going around on a bike, recording bus drivers and taxi drivers and reporting them, trying to get them sacked. It's gone in on a WhatsApp message for you there. This fellow is very active.
Right.
And he's restricted his emails. But I see the city being torn apart for no reason. I know somebody that works with NTA, and he said the Greens have made a total mess from Fairview Park all the way into the North Strand. They're riffing up the roads, everything's for bikes, no cars.
Yeah.
The buses are getting new bus shelters and new stops, and there's no buses to run the routes.
Yeah.
So I think the motorists have been... We pay the highest insurance in the world, if not Europe, and the highest tax, and they're trying to squeeze us off the road. But I'll tell you what the biggest mistake... One, they're driving around in big Mercedes government ministerial cars. And two, every time they restrict us in our diesel or petrol vans and try to make us go by what they want us to do, they're polluting the country worse by keeping us all in the one place burning petrol and diesel.
But their argument is you shouldn't be in your car. They want you to get a bus. They don't want you to be or cycle in or something like that. I don't know.
Yeah, she'd get killed on the road. Who's taking up most of the road now? Only electric bikes and scooters.
Mm.
And there's no restrictions on them. They don't pay tax. They know.
But they're quite happy. Yeah, but the Green Party are mad about all of this. They want you all on electric bikes and scooters and all sorts of things and push bikes. And they want that.
And funny enough, I've seen an article in the paper, Niall, about a week and a half ago, right? About an 84-year-old woman that was killed by a gobshite robbing an electric scooter outside a hospital. He jumped on it and he ran into the woman and knocked her over, banged her head, and he killed her.
Oh, they're lethal. No, I hate them. I hate those things.
They're
just
dreadful.
Lethal.
Yeah. So I think the motorists like myself, I walk for a living driving and I love getting into my car like you at the weekend. I drove over to Galway 2 weeks ago. Beautiful. And I set off the motorway. I went the old way, you know, through the old villages.
Yeah.
Beautiful country. Yeah. So I see Dublin, you can't drive from Sarsfield Quay, which is up at the old Collins Asparagus, to O'Connell Street. I used to be able to cycle that in, about 7 to 10 minutes when I was younger. It'd take me about an hour and a half in a car now with a van to do it.
Well, what they want to do is get rid of cross-city traffic completely. So in other words, you will not be able to go across any of the bridges anymore. You won't be able to travel from one side of the city. So the only way to get, say, from Malahide to Dunleary would be you have to go on the M50. You can't go through town anymore.
And that's horrific. Absolutely. Dreadful.
Well, mind you, that wouldn't be a bad idea if the M50 wasn't such a shit show. You know what I mean?
Exactly. Yeah.
The majority of accidents in Dublin, by the way, statistically happen on the M50. And the M50 is like a moving car park. Thank you for that, Morris. Let me go to Saoirse as well. Saoirse, hi. How are you?
Hello, Niall. How are you?
I'm good, Saoirse. You've been listening to what Jackie says, you know, that, like, okay, you know, it's a wonderful idea and everything else, but we have to think of the businesses in town. We have to think of people who don't want to cycle, who don't want to use their cars, older people who might, you know, prefer to drive their little car into town to do a bit of shopping. What about all of those people?
Now, what we have to be thinking of here is not the coffee shop, okay? We need to be thinking about the road deaths. We need to be thinking about obesity. And we need to be thinking about well-being. And what is the solution to all of those issues? Cycling.
Cycling.
Sorry, Niall. Sorry, Niall. Niall, I'm sitting in Burzacan village here, our town, at the minute, and it is lashing rain. Can you imagine cycling? You know, down... well, I don't know what it's like.
His name is Jackie.
Okay, yeah. Jackie, I think there's something very depressing becoming obvious here, and that is the lack of ambition and imagination with some of your callers. There are people, just so you know, Jackie, that cycle in the rain.
Yeah, it wouldn't be me, Saoirse. I wouldn't be cycling.
It is possible. But what we are dealing with now these days in this country, lazy, obese people who don't know how to use their own body to get around.
And do you, sir, do you cycle to work and, you know, kind of cycle sooner than use a car yourself?
I absolutely do. And I have always. This country, we used to have one car per household. Now we have one car per person. We have the fastest increasing obesity rate in Europe. I mean, we are slobs. And you're on this call today talking about the impossibility of cycle lanes. And it is utterly
depressing. But hang on. But Saoirse, we need a level of equality here, okay? If you want a cycle, I'm happy for you. And I want to provide you with the infrastructure for you to be able to cycle safely into your job, right? But I also, because of equality, I want to give Jackie or other people the opportunity in their city, be it Limerick, Cork, Galway or Dublin, I want to give them the opportunity to drive too. We have to be fair to everybody. But this is not being fair to everybody.
The amount of cars on the road in this country is
2.2 million. 2.2 million cars.
Sustainable. It is, our roads are not fit for it. Our habits are disgusting. We are lazy. People in the countryside don't even walk to the local shop anymore. They immediately get in the car. Can you imagine when the children of today are adults? Will they do any exercise, any physical exercise at all? No, they'll be riddled with diabetes. And it's because of people like you and Jackie that are sitting there in your comfortable heated seats saying, oh, stop, we need to stop this madness of cycling. Can you hear yourself? Can you hear yourself?
Well, seriously, can I ask you, do you live in a city or outside a city?
I don't disclose where I live.
You don't have to disclose where you live. But he only asks you, are you living in rural or urban Ireland? Which?
I'm not comfortable.
Oh, God, Jesus. It's like pinning a tail in a donkey. Saoirse, do you live in a city or do you live in... You don't live in... She lives in a city, Jackie. I know she does. She mentioned something about a city before.
You can speculate all you want.
Speculate.
Okay. Saoirse, can I tell you, I live in a rural area and my work takes me all around the country. That's my work and that's how I earn my living and how I pay my mortgage and that. I cannot do that on a bike. I cannot transport. I need to transport.
It's
not possible.
Let's be sensible here, okay? I don't think these cycle lanes are intended for people who need to drive as part of their job. And by that I mean, I don't think we're asking ambulance drivers, okay, to get on bicycles.
I hope not. I certainly hope not. Saoirse, but you see,
Hang on, Saoirse. I'm with you. By the way, I'm not into the Green Party stuff, but I'm all for the environment, right? And I do want to make it comfortable for everybody.
Are you?
Kind of. But I do want to make a... Now, look, I have a choice too, just like you have a choice. There's free will in this country still, the last time I checked. I want to drive my car. You might not like me driving my car, but I want to drive my car. I'm happier to drive my car than I am to cycle through town. So if I want to drive through town, which I don't do too often, I'm quite happy to do that. And if I have to wait an extra 10 minutes or 15 minutes in traffic, I'm okay with that too, rather than get pissed on by the rain on a bike. You know, I'm all right with that.
This is about changing habits and increasing the infrastructure so people can make healthier choices. Niall, if we don't do this now, our road deaths will continue to skyrocket and there is no hope for the slums.
Well, when you say our road deaths will continue to skyrocket, you know, cyclists get killed every year as well, Saoirse, a lot of cyclists.
I think we all know the majority of road deaths do not involve cyclists. Let's be real here. Come on.
Yeah, but the majority of people on the road are not cyclists, they're motorists. So that when you look at it statistically, a lot of people do die on their push bikes too, which is not a good... It's not nice, by the way, can I just point out?
I don't have research to hand, but I would just guess that most of the deaths are caused by people driving at speed. Speed is what kills, we know that, unless you're somehow going to go from a couch potato to an extremely fast cyclist, I don't think we're going to see an increase.
Okay, but what about, Saoirse, what about businesses? You know, like the likes of Brown Thomas have come out now to say that these kind of plans destroy the footfall within the city centre, which damages their business, which they can sustain to some degree, but smaller businesses just can't.
I'm sure you do remember when the smoking ban came in.
Yes,
and this was,
remember.
The poor businesses, how will the businesses adapt? They adapt and they move on. And this is life, okay? I'm sure Brent Thomas would be perfectly fine, right? And as will all the other businesses. And, you know, that is not a good argument or a good reason for us to stay on this path of total mayhem on our roads.
Stay there for a second. I want to just bring John O'D in as well on this. John, hi, how are you? There you go. John, hi, how are you?
I'm not too bad. All I can say is it anyone that the divorce rate is so high?
I don't think Saoirse gets that one. Anyway, sorry. Yeah, I don't know if she's married or not. John, Saoirse makes some good points. You know, obesity is a big problem, and she's not wrong. We should be encouraging people to get more exercise. Maybe this isn't the way to do it, but...
Well, obesity is something that people have to decide on themselves. I mean, along with their medics, and it's a lifestyle choice. Some people decide to stay lazy all their life, or people stay active and they have problems. Also, a lot of medical conditions where people put on weight, and it's not through pure laziness. You know, as the cars going through town, right? What they brought in here about 3 years ago, no, they brought in Partick Street and Cottage. You can't drive through the city centre of Partick Street, the main street, from 3:30 until 6:30, and they called it the Pan a Ban because it's Partick Street. And Cork people, they affectionately talk about Partick Street. They refer to it as Pana. So it's the Pan a Ban.
Right.
And since that was brought in, like, the businesses have dropped by their own admission. Now, at the time when it was proposed, now, the businesses were going to come out and block the traffic and buses and all. But of course, that was only all pie in the sky, like they hadn't the battle to do it, right? So they're still bitching and mourning, and a lot of know that business is down. And what is down is, when you can't access the main street like that, where Brown Thomas is here on Cork, where Penny's done stores.
Same in Dublin, yeah. They want to pedestrianise Dame Street and around the College Green, which kind of takes away access to the car parks up around Stephen's Green. Yeah. So and nobody's going to go to Grafton Street.
Yeah, what we had 3 years here, you see, what's gone out of Partick Street during that time is what I call the drop-off and the pick-up, where the husband comes in, he drops off, we say people are tired, whatever, no, they have time. He drops off the wife, he goes to Brown Thomas, goes to Penny's, goes to Dunn's, does whatever, right?
And then picks them up
and
after.
Then he picks them up. So drop-off, pick-up, and you multiply that by hundreds and thousands of times a day, right? That's all part of
the plan by Dublin City Centre Transport Plan, or part of the transport plan, is to reduce the amount of traffic on the road, motorists obviously, by 40%. And how they will do that is by different plans. They will remove all the parking from roadside parking all around town. They will stop people going what they call cross-city travel, which means they'll close all the bridges or only have one-way traffic on the bridges, which means you won't be able to cross from north side to south side or either way, so you'll have to go to the M50. And then they'll put a congestion charge, like they do in London, that if anybody drives into the city, you'll be picked up on a camera and you'll get a 10 euro or whatever, 5 euro bill in the post.
Well, it's the same in Patrick's. You know, if you drive, I've stopped a lot of people driving down Patrick's because I didn't realise that the ban was there, they might be out of town or whatever now.
Okay.
And I just saved him 80 euro. You know?
Has Saoirse got any point at all in saying that, you know, we're just old fogies, is essentially what she's saying. We need to move on. Times are changing and we need to start using public transport or cycling a bike.
As regards bigger trucks and stuff like that, no, like, I mean,
well, of course, that can't happen.
I'm going through town, yeah, that can't happen. But look, you need a living city, and part of a living city is traffic. Actually, when they brought in the ban right here in Cork, strangely enough, and I'm not the only one, you'd miss the sound of the traffic. It was part of the street.
Yeah, okay. Well, Saoirse, what about that? A living city and part of a living city are people using their cars as well. They exist. Stop denying their existence.
Did he just say that part of a living city is the sound of traffic?
He did.
Yes, all over the world. Part of a living city.
Okay, let her respond, John. Let her respond. Yeah, go on. Yeah, he did say that. He did say that.
Okay, that's nonsense. Nonsense is what I would say to that. And so what I would say is the lack of ambition around our future is deplorable. We have a problem with traffic. We need to solve the problem with traffic. How will we do that if not with this plan?
Do you think that we should be held up as the poster boy or poster girl for the whole of Europe, a small little island like us, that we must be the greenest of all? I'm sorry, but I can't go along with that.
This is not green. This is about our way of living has become disgusting. Do you not see that? We have become We have become the slobs of Europe. I mean, there was somebody on earlier that literally couldn't comprehend going outside in the rain. I mean, what kind of a people have we become?
If you're talking, I suggest you should go to America.
Do you cycle, John? John, do you cycle? Do you cycle at all, John?
No, but I walk an awful lot. I'm extremely fit, from my age.
Oh, okay.
Because I walk everywhere. I could walk 6-7 miles non-stop if I wanted it.
Yeah, I haven't actually. And to be fair, Saoirse, I haven't cycled since I was about 10. You know.
My city is absolutely the only way I can describe it. No, it's like Legoland. That's what it's turned into. No, it's cycle lanes. No, pedestrianised streets. The buses are nearly gone demented. We can't get bus drivers now. They don't want to drive the buses anymore because the streets are too narrow.
We need to improve the transport that we have. And this is part of that. John, when you were younger, I am sure you used your two legs and you walked around and as did everybody else in the community and you spoke to your fellow man and you had a sense of well-being, and you would be somebody I think that can recognise Ireland has changed. We get into our car, we drive down to the shop, we get back in our car, we don't talk to anybody, we are disgustingly overweight, people are dying at crazy rates on our roads, and now we are complaining about a solution to all of those problems because we have become so lazy, we can't imagine changing our ways.
Okay, well, hang on, Saoirse. Let me just bring in. Well, hang on. I want to bring in another John. Actually, I think he's going to back you up. Actually, John, hi. How are you doing?
Me, Niall. Is that me you're asking?
Yeah, it's you, John. Yeah.
Oh, thank you kindly. Saoirse is back. Oh, I'm gone.
Well, I think you're going to agree with her, actually. But go on anyway.
Niall. I know nothing about city traffic, and I know nothing about problems there because I have my bicycle and I use public transport, and the 3839A bus is the unbelievable service, passes my door five times.
Well, isn't that great for you that it passes your door? Most people don't have a bus pass in their door, but go on anyway, John. Yeah.
Yeah. Okay.
But well, you agree with this? You agree with this idea?
I checked about the city with a few of my agents, shall we say, that use the city all day long. And a few of them are actually in the taxi business, and they give me a very full report. So I give you a couple of bullet points that were sent to me.
If you can.
Here we are. Okay. The Gardaí aren't enforcing bus lane incursions by delivery vans and private cars. That's one. Now, second one. Private motorists are constantly blocking yellow boxes at key junctions, causing mayhem. Third one is all the yellow boxes need to be repainted in the city, as you can hardly see them. Fourth one is Church Street is a virtual car park all day long since Capel Street was closed to pedestrians.
Yeah, because people will be taking the alternative and going up Church Street, of course, yeah.
Yeah, yeah. Gardaí, he said, can't even get in or out of the private.
But whose fault is that? Isn't that that's Dublin City Council because they closed off Capel Street, they increased the traffic to Church Street. So why is that the motorist's fault?
The law of unintended consequences.
Yeah,
like
Saoirse and her gang are the ones who wanted Capel Street closed.
Well, there you go. Yeah. Anyway,
Saoirse wants pedestrianised streets. You're not really agreeing with Saoirse, so are you? Really, are you?
Emergency vehicles like ambulances and fire engines are having huge difficulty getting past gridlocked streets. The Gardaí have taken to using the Lewis tracks as their private road. So it's so bad.
Okay, but here's the thing. I'm not disagreeing with you, John, and I'm not disagreeing with Saoirse in that respect, that yes, it is a disaster. But who created that disaster? Saoirse and her gang.
But you are an example of somebody who is stopping progress at every turn. We need to reimagine how we are living to solve all of the problems that we are all experiencing.
But John has just given you all the problems. And all of the problems that John has just outlined, with the exception of the yellow boxes, people need to pay respect to the yellow boxes, are a direct consequence of you and your gang, Saoirse, and the stuff you wanted done.
Saoirse's man in a public bus if she had to die for it. And that's half the cause of it.
Excuse me. What does that mean? And where does that come from?
My contacts in town asked me one question, and there should be a survey. Why do some people spend 2 hours sitting in a car in a traffic jam going from A to B, a couple of miles around the city?
I'll tell you why. Because they have been sold an idea that this is modern living. You get in your car and you drive, and this is part of a modern person.
It's more comfortable, actually.
It's lonely. It's selfish.
It's not lonely.
When was the last time you talked to a stranger in public transport?
I don't particularly use public transport. I don't use it.
Oh, you don't? I'm shocked. Shocked.
No, because I don't have any reason to use it. I have a car.
Yes, because you can't imagine a different life than the one you're currently living. We are a miserable people. We have...
I live a very busy life, Saoirse. I don't have the time to be standing at a bus stop waiting for a bus.
We are lonely. We are selfish. We are fast.
There's two people talking at the same time, and I can't
Well, I won't stop because I had started first. So we are fast becoming a community of individuals who have forgotten how to work together for a common good. So you can sit in your BMW, Niall, and you can think you won't get into a public transport, and you can wonder why we have the social problems we have, or we can start to reimagine a better future for all, which is what this is trying to do.
Okay, John, just finally, I need to know, I know you've outlined me loads of problems there, John. Do you agree or disagree with reducing the traffic by the methods they have suggested, which is removing the parking, stopping cross-city traffic, and charging a congestion charge and other such things. Do you agree with that?
That's a done deal. That should be, but the fact is...
Because you have a bus stop outside your gaff. That's great, isn't it?
Gardaí are now not even enforcing the blockage.
Forget about all the Gardaí. The blockages wouldn't be there if it wasn't for people like yourself and Saoirse who are encouraging all this. But the point is, it's all well and good for you, John, to turn around and say people shouldn't be driving their cars if they could get public transport. You've got a bus stop outside your house.
Well, I'm dealing with professional drivers, and they tell me if all delivery vans were made to deliver their goods before 8 o'clock in the morning, the city would be a completely different place.
Okay, well then let me go to a delivery driver here. Hang on. Jason, hi.
How are you, Niall?
Yeah, you should be delivering before 8 o'clock in the morning.
Okay, that's no problem. I work nights. I leave my wife and the kids in the middle of the night down to go and deliver his goods for him. Because everything he has in him, everything that him and Saoirse have around him starts and lights in one of these trucks. Niall, I suggested this a long time ago, and I seen this, going back 15, 20 years ago when I started on that M50. Most of the crashes on that M50 are caused by people who are in their cars for less than an hour in the mornings and an hour in the evenings, coming to and from work. They're either eating their breakfast in the car, doing their makeup, on their phone, they're on their laptop, or they're eating.
Yeah.
You know, that is it. I'm in a truck, though. I see it every day.
Oh, I know.
I spend my life
on that. I see a girl driving a car on the M50. This is not a word of a lie. She had a hairdryer plugged into the cigarette lighter, and she was blow-drying her hair.
Yeah. Doing 100 kilometres in the outside lane while watching our phone.
Yeah.
Yeah. So, now we need an outer orbital around Dublin. We need it to come in at Balbriggan, link up the M1 with the M2, the M3, the M4 and the M7. The amount of trucks and cars and vans that just come into the city to use that M50 just to go off at one of their motorways. That M50 should be just an inner road for the city, for the people of Dublin. And this business of only one toll on it. I mean, the amount of people that are dodging the toll.
What they do in America in these situations, in all cities in America, is they have an M50, which is like what they call an interstate, right? So they have the M50, which is the ring road, and then they have what they call a turnpike. And a turnpike basically means one road with no exits, say from Balbriggan or off the M1, right over to, you know, as you mentioned, the M7 or the M5 or whatever it happens to be. So one road, no exits until you get to the end of it. So that takes all the trucks, all the traffic. If you're going from Dundalk to Bray or to Wicklow or to Arklow, you have to go on the M50. Stupid.
Yeah, that's okay. That's okay if you're going from the dock, but we should be able to. It should have been completed all the way around. It's in the half a motorway.
Yeah.
But you need a motorway that trucks can use, because the amount of lads that come in from, say, the north, okay, and they're going to Cork, okay, or they're going to Galway, they have to hit the M50 there at the airport.
Disastrous.
Traffic. So there should be a link road right around that.
Getting back to the other idea, I completely agree with you, and that's only part of the problem, right? Getting back to the other idea that they want to reduce the traffic, and Saoirse agrees with it because we've become slobs by 40% of the city by removing, you know, parking spaces, removing car parks and, you know, charging congestion charges and stopping cross-city traffic. Do you agree with that?
Niall, Dublin is built in a valley. You're constantly climbing out of the city centre. From the time you're on O'Connell Street, okay, every road goes up. Okay, we don't live in a flat city, okay? There's a lot of climbing, a lot of hills. We don't have the weather. We don't have the infrastructure. You take 40% of the cars off the road, where's the money going to come from? Because the amount of money that comes in taxes alone, just on cars, VRT, VAT, and on petrol, diesel insurance, where's all that money going to come from? You go outside the city, Niall, and the roads are in a bad way. Right, they really are. There's trees along every road. There should be no tree within 5-10 feet of a road.
Let Saoirse respond to that. Saoirse, that's an interesting question, one I hadn't thought about. If you deal with that question, just that question. If you remove 40% of the traffic, or we all remove 40% of the cars from the country, for example, you know, that's a huge amount of revenue lost to the government between car tax, diesel, insurances, everything. A huge amount of money lost.
Okay, the only thing he says that I agree with is that the weather, we can't change the weather. We can change everything else. Where will the money come from? We find the money when we need to, Niall. I think you would agree with that. We find the money to send to Ukraine. We find the money to give to these you know, big companies that come in. We don't take the Apple tax. We say, no, this one's on us. You know, forget about the money. This is bullshit, okay? The real problem here is that we have lost the ability to imagine a better future for ourselves. And why we are continuously talking about the weather as if that's some kind of reason. Well, I mean, back in the day before the cars, people were outside. Has everybody lost their mind? Why have we become so soft?
You know, see, Jason, well, I don't know, Jason, you have a car as well, do you?
No.
So how do you get from your house to the pavilion, let's say, if you're going shopping or whatever it is, wherever you go shopping, I don't know, Blanchester?
Right, but I live down the country. I live down the country.
Okay, so how do you get to your local shops? Walk.
Well, we walk, it's in the village.
There you go, Searchy, he walks.
Right now, if I need a car, now, Niall, I've told you before, I use go-car. So when I figured out, I only needed a car 15 times last year. Like, that's all I physically needed.
So you just rented out?
I use that go-car app. That is brilliant. There's a van there in the...
That's handy. You live in rural Ireland, so you live near a village.
Yeah, so we're okay. There is a bus service to Dublin, but it's hit and miss, Niall.
Okay, do you essentially agree with Saoirse then?
No, I don't know, because I don't need a car. Lorraine doesn't drive. I drive a truck five, six days a week. I personally don't need a car. It was just sitting in the yard.
Then you're agreeing with her. She's saying you don't need a car. You can cycle or walk.
Listen to what I'm saying to you. I live in a village. I live in my truck 5 days a bloody week, Niall. When I get out of this on a Saturday morning or a Friday night, I don't want to see another car. I'm okay in my job. Lorraine doesn't drive, and we live in the country. We're okay in a sense. We have the stuff around us. Like, we moved out of Dublin City, you know, that way a long time ago, Niall. So.
Okay, yeah, sorry. Yeah, Saoirse, you want to respond to him there? Go on.
The habits that man is describing, most people in this country are too lazy to implement. But he is implementing them because he's sick of being in his truck. But it should show you that it is possible to not have a car. When he is in his truck, someone else is in the office. Can you not see?
Let me go to Angela. Angela, can you not see what Saoirse is saying here, Angela? It's very obvious and plainly obvious and well done to her. Let's all get off, get out of those cars, get onto our bicycles and lose a bit of weight.
Okay, so Saoirse doesn't want to divulge for some strange reason where she lives, even though everyone else will. So let's pretend that Saoirse lives in Clare, okay? And they start, she's saying that everyone should cycle everywhere, right?
Yeah, yeah.
So Saoirse lives in Clare and her job is in Limerick. The nearest bus stop is 45 minutes away and it takes an hour to get in to work on the bus. So that's 2 hours in the morning and 2 hours in the evening. So there's four hours. That's if the bus turns
off. Okay. But don't you understand?
Saoirse, I'm not finished. And so then she's living in Clare, and her local shop, because she's living in rural Clare, is 10 miles away. And she has
I think everyone's missing the point. I don't even think Saoirse would disagree with the fact if your nearest bus stop is 40 minutes away that you're going to have to use some sort of our transport.
Don't speak for me. Thank you. Can I just say before we go down any further this ridiculous rabbit hole, the current public transport needs to improve, and that is part of this vision. So what you're describing there is not sufficient, but it will improve. That's the point of this.
When? They've been saying that for years, that it's going to improve.
I think it will improve once we can think all you want, Saoirse. No, excuse
it's
me.
Not
the point is, there are people in power trying to crack open the majority of your heads to imagine this type of future, and all they are being met with is resistance. So when that happens, of course, transport will improve. Of course it will. What do you think will happen? Nobody will take 2 hours to get to work and 2 hours back. That's a logical.
Saoirse,
of course,
Saoirse.
That's not good enough.
So what she's trying to say, Angela, is the laws of supply and demand. In other words, if more people went and used public transport, they would be forced to provide more public transport.
Well, we have had councillors and TDs for years down here trying to get the bus and the transport right. And it's not. It never has.
It's not your right bus is meant to, no, people like I'm not you finished, Saoirse, and I'm people not like Niall.
Saoirse, don't interrupt me, please. Saoirse, don't interrupt me. I'm not finished. And the thing is that when your bus is meant to arrive at 1:10 and it doesn't arrive until 1:55, that's a problem. Okay. Or if your bus is meant to arrive at 1:10, or you can hoof all you want, doesn't drive at 1:10 or 1:20 or even 2:15. These are in rural areas. So,
okay, well, leaving aside rural areas, because I don't want to conflate and confuse the issue. Hang on, Angela, and I understand the point you're making, and I agree with you, by the way. But in Saoirse doesn't. In relation to city centres, I mean, this is what this main argument today that's been in the news is about, city centres. They're saying, according to Dublin City Council, with their stupid survey, which is really faulted and flawed, to be honest with you, because the only people that put in submissions were those are probably from cycling clubs. 81% of respondents, they said, believe that we should reduce the amount of road space for private vehicles in the city centre. Do you agree with that?
No, I don't, because if you look at the amount of storms, the amount of, like last weekend, if people had to cycle into work, how could they? Because they're told to be very careful. You know, we had a storm come in. How are people meant to do it then?
Saoirse said, I don't want to speak for Saoirse because she doesn't know.
I imagine a lot of those people would be told to work from home or don't travel, do not make unnecessary journeys. It's the same as now.
So the whole of Dublin closes down because there's a storm and people can't cycle into work.
I mean, what? So we don't change the way we're in cars because of 2 days every year when we have a storm? That's ridiculous.
Not cars. Not 2 days. There's only two storms a year, is it? Have you tried to go out in that direction?
I'm sorry, but can I just inform everybody, we do not live in some kind of extreme North Pole. Okay, we have some rain. Okay, and we have a couple of storms. We need to just get a grip here on the weather in this country. It's get a raincoat, okay, Angela? Get a raincoat, and you now get a raincoat, and get over it.
Here, listen, love. I go out every day with my dogs. I walk beaches, I walk lakes, I walk everywhere, okay? So you're not preaching to me. All right, love.
Okay, well, good for you. Congratulations.
No,
there are many people who cannot put their toes in this country.
Saoirse, I'm not finished. Do not interrupt as you have requested all the other callers, right? So I go out walking with my dogs every day. I go out in the rain. I go out in everything. But there's a difference in me socially going out walking and having to get to work. Okay? So there's storms more than once or twice a year in Ireland. Am I correct?
You can answer that. Yeah, there's probably more. There's at least 20 or 30.
Yeah.
For the love of God.
Oh, God, I know. Just, it's awful, isn't it? Isn't it awful?
I have a vision in my head of Saoirse on her bike. She'd be like the wicked witch of the West.
On her high
net. That is deeply unkind. I am a little basket
on the front of it. Sorry, go ahead. Yeah, sorry, Saoirse.
I am done with this call now. What I would like to say is, it is people like the two of you
were
that
done.
Stop progress. Oh, yes. Well, this is my final words, if that's okay, Angela. It's the people like
that's
you
right.
that stop progress. If it was up to people like you, we would never have brought in the change with the plastic bags. We would never have brought in the smoking ban. You stand in the way
definitely
of progress
brought
in
the
this
smoking
country.
Ban,
goodbye.
Smoke.
Goodbye.
Bye. See ya. She's gone.
She's gone, yeah. She's gone.
That damn smoking ban, that's killed me, like. Of course I wouldn't have brought it in.
There's a part of me thinks she's mad, but there's a part of me thinks she's fine. She's funny as well.
She's hilarious. And the thing
but,
is,
but
right,
here's the thing. She's serious, Angela. She is serious.
She is very serious. But my whole thing as well is, when she's saying that we don't socialise, can you imagine having to sit next to her on the bus?
Oh, I couldn't deal with her for more than 10 minutes. Let me go to Stephen as well. Stephen, hi, how are you?
Hi, Niall. Just... counting up the number of storms already. 13.
13, yeah, yeah, probably since the start of the year. I don't know. There's probably about 20 or 30 in the year, maybe. I don't know. Yeah. It depends on what you call a storm, by the way. You know, bad weather. I mean, to be honest with you, the storms over the weekend, now don't get me wrong, I know there was places like Salt Hill were pretty badly hit and stuff like that. But generally speaking, across the country, it was slightly exaggerated. It was like the end of the world, the way they were talking about it. And it was a bit of a windy day, and that was about it.
And you know what the thing is, we actually have worse weather when they don't call it a storm.
Yeah. They've kind of calamitised everything nowadays when they're talking about the weather. I think that's all part of the narrative, isn't it? Anyway, sorry, Stephen, dealing back to the original question, do you think in the cities, you know, Dublin, Limerick, Galway, Cork, should we be reducing the amount of private car traffic?
Well, if we could, we should, but they should actually have proper road systems. I don't know how they're going to do it. Because if you reduce the car traffic, how are they going to get all the people into work? And saying they're going to take a bus is not going to work because people, you know, they leave their children in before they go to work.
Oh, I know what you mean.
You know, can you imagine in the centre of Dublin, and are you going to let, you know, it's just not feasible at the minute.
There are people that have public transport available to them who don't use it. That's fair enough. But there are a lot of people, for example, who can't use public transport. And I'll give you a quick example. If you live in Malahide and work in Blanchardstown, right, in Dublin, it really isn't feasible to use public transport because you have to go into town and then get another bus from town back out to Blanchardstown. First thing in the morning, 8 o'clock in the morning, that's going to take you 2 hours. So that's, whereas you could drive it in, you know, 40 minutes. So that's just not feasible for a lot of people.
Well, I used to work in Cork City, and to be honest, it was quicker actually to drive than take the bus. As soon as they dropped the bus lane in, it actually killed the taxis because they were using them. I mean, everything just slowed down.
You're right. If we got rid of all the bus lanes and the cycle lanes, traffic would be moving nice and freely.
I was down in a town yesterday and I saw seven. Sorry, I'm a bit asthmatic today.
It's okay.
Seven buses, and in total, because I was sitting down there and I had nothing, literally had nothing to do. I was resting after doing a bit of a walk, and there was only 43 bloody people came off those seven huge buses. So the people aren't using them.
No, there's a lot of the routes, by the way, are just not being used. They're not sustainable. But the argument is that if they did things like this and reduce traffic on the roads or reduce the space on the roads for private cars, that people would be forced to use it. And then the argument is that the more people that use it, the more they can provide. That at the moment it isn't sustainable to provide empty buses.
Well, I do actually think they have to put it in place. I've been to Germany, Spain, all over Europe.
Yeah.
And it was dirt cheap. It was there.
Most of them have underground rail systems and stuff like that. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
We don't.
You know, but it was running every 10 minutes. You don't see the Lewis really running every 10 minutes.
The Lewis is great, but it's of no value to you unless you live near one of the Lewis stops or you're going in the direction the Lewis happens to be going. So it's of no value to you otherwise. It's only value to people who use it and use it for a particular type of journey. Hang on, I've loads to get through. Sorry, I just need to get through them, Stephen. I'm sorry for rushing everybody. I do apologise. And just stay with me for a second. Steve, hi, how are you?
Okay.
Can I say something first before you say a word, Steve? I suppose. I better be nice to you and I better be honest with everybody here, okay?
Okay.
For those who don't know, our website went down because of a very serious technical problem we had a week and a half ago. Last weekend, actually, not this weekend, the weekend gone. And we mentioned it on social media that it would take us a little bit of time to get it back up. It was worse than we thought. We literally had to get the whole thing rebuilt again. And we got contacted by a listener to the show. Angela?
Me.
And Steve.
I have to be nice to him now, don't don't I?
Steve contacted the show because he has a lot of technical knowledge, and we knew this before because he had mentioned it. And he worked tirelessly for the whole weekend with us to get the website back up again.
Actually being very sincere. Well done, Steve.
And didn't charge us anything for it either. So, Steve, thank you very much, Steve. We do appreciate it. By the way, that doesn't mean I'm not going to argue with you anymore. I'm just saying.
Well, you know what? You just made it 10 times more difficult for me to say what I was going to say. Because I wrote it down on a piece of paper here.
Go on, fire away. No, just pretend we don't know each other, Steve. It's fine. Just pretend we don't know each other. I won't hold it against you.
What I was going to say was, stop being such a patronizing prick.
Yeah, but go on.
Kind of blowing that out of the water.
Yeah, go on. I'll accept that.
Right, so look, here's the thing with Saoirse. You know that there's what she says is fundamentally correct. Regardless, it's not wrapped up in any charm. People are irritated by her because the sound of her voice. But you know as well as I do that the utopia that she's looking towards is the right direction to go. We know this. That is the right way to go. We may not be able to get there now. I'll give an example. You guys hate the Green Party very much so, yeah?
Yeah, I'm assuming you do too.
No.
Oh, okay.
No. Oh, look, I hate the delivery method. I don't hate their ideas. I'll give you an example of something. You would all say that a no-smoking campaign is a good thing, yes?
Yeah, yeah.
Okay, who ran the first no smoking
Angela,
campaign?
Angela, be honest, Angela.
Okay, go on. Yeah.
Was it not Fianna Fáil that first ran? Fianna Fáil were the ones who introduced the smoking ban into Ireland.
Hold on a second. No. Who in the history, not of just Ireland, ran the first no smoking campaign?
But what's that got to do with this?
Hitler.
Oh, Jesus.
Right, Hitler ran the first one. So my point is,
where are we going with this? Are you saying that the Green Party are like the Nazis?
No. What I'm saying is that even arseholes have good ideas.
Right. Okay.
You know, their delivery method.
Don't get me wrong. Some of the stuff that they come up with. The problem with the Green Party is the carrot and stick approach, right? Which is not what they do. They use the stick and carrot approach, which is punish people who don't go along with them. That's my problem with the Green Party.
Well, but their ideas, you know, their
Some of them are mental. Some of their ideas are mad.
Okay. Well, I was in the city centre a couple of weeks ago, and I was driving up the quays, and there was a woman with her buggy. She was walking past me. She had a load of shopping, you know, strapped onto the pram, and she was walking up the quays. It took me just over an hour to get up the top of the quays now. She was long there, 40 minutes. She got to her destination before me. So my point is, what's the point? What is the point in sitting in traffic? It would be much more quicker for all of us to hop on a bus because they have bus lanes, free up the spaces for ambulances and for delivery drivers, which should have scheduled times.
But yeah? Steve, that's okay, right? Okay, I used to live in Dublin, so I can talk about this. It's okay when it's easy enough. Right, that you want to get the 46A or you want to get this and it goes from there to there. But it's not when you have to go from there to there, get the DART, get the Lewis, get the bus, get the... It's not as easy. It's not easy for somebody living on the south side that works on the north side or somebody on the north side that works on the south side.
And I would argue, Steve, the reason it took you an hour to get from, say, Phoenix Park to O'Connell Street, for example, on the Quays, is because there's now only one lane. There used to be three. They now have...
They've put a cycle lane
and a bus lane.
Okay.
Now, there was always a bus lane on the inside anyway, but they now have a bus lane, which is kind of... It's the most confusing thing in the world. The bus lane is now in the middle or there's something like that, or parts of it. You can drive in the middle, but you can't drive on this side, a part of it. It's all very confusing. It terrifies me driving down it. Anyway, they have created that problem. The same way somebody mentioned Church Street. Church Street is like a car park now. And why is it like a car park? Because people can't use Capel Street anymore because they've closed into traffic. They've pedestrianised.
Okay, so let's remind everybody of something. So John said something earlier. He said that traffic is a part of the background noise of cities. Yeah, only since cars were invented and manufactured. Before that, there was no cars.
Before that, it was horsebacks. Yeah, it was horses and carts.
Yeah, sorry, my Google Home is talking to me here. Sorry. Yeah. So my point is, I'm going to put this to you, Niall. Let's say you're in charge of the country. You have free reign to do what you want.
Yeah.
What would you do with the city?
The problem we have with Dublin City is, right, and it would take a long time to fix, Dublin City is not like most cities. Dublin City came about rather than by design. In other words, it just happened. Mm-hmm. It got bigger slowly, right? Whereas if you look at places, say, like Manhattan, they were planned, they were designed. Look at, you know, Berlin, look at Paris. They're much more organized, much more designed cities, mm-hmm. right? And as Jason rightly mentioned earlier on, it's in a valley. So you've got hills up in every direction. You've got curvy little streets. Streets that are too narrow to put cycle lanes in. But yet, we've put cycle lanes in them, which reduce the traffic to barely enough space for one car to get down. That was bad design. There are places where we should have cycle lanes and we can put cycle lanes, but we can't put cycle lanes everywhere because what it's doing is slowing down traffic. Yes, I see the utopia you and Serge are talking about to some degree. It would be a nice idea. But unfortunately, we live in Ireland. The weather isn't that great and a lot of people don't want to cycle. If more of us use public transport, yes, they'd probably provide more public transport. Mm-hmm. But we need to look at public transport for other people who don't have a bus stop outside their house or for people who want to get from one part of the city to another that's not serviced by public transport.
So basically what you're saying, Niall, is if, let's say, we decided to invest billions into the infrastructure.
Yeah, and we had a subway, an underground or something like that. Yeah,
let's say we had underground and we had more trams and more buses. Everything was electric. Everything was fantastic.
Yeah.
Would you have a problem with the city being pedestrianised then?
No, not at all. I probably
wouldn't. So your problem is with the infrastructure not being there, not with the actual city.
But we should have thought of this years ago. It's too late now. We can't build an underground. Well, how long would it take to build an underground? There was a Chinese company volunteered about 25 years ago. They told the Irish government, we will build an overhead rail system, which was a monorail system, around Dublin to all the major points. And we will pay for it, provided we can keep the profits for 10 or 20 years or whatever it was. And they refused them. Yeah. I thought it was a great idea, but they refused them. The same way as we had planned to build a metro underground. You know, I think it's the Radisson Hotel or whatever it is in Ballyfermot, or the Hilton in Ballyfermot. I don't think it's called that anymore. They actually built a train station under the hotel, because there was a plan to build an underground rail system or metro to Ballymun at the time. So that was part of the plan. When you build a hotel, you had to have a rail system under the hotel. It's still there. The station is still there. Obviously, there's never been a track put down. So what I'm saying is...
Your problem is with infrastructure. But
Stephen, how long are they talking about having a train out to Dublin Airport even?
Look, we know that they're blustering and they're blowing it out of our arse and they haven't a clue what they're talking about. But that's when people like Saoirse come on and have her opinion, she's looking towards the future. And she is. Look, there's nothing that she had said in that which is not factual. The woman was absolutely correct. She just happens to be annoying when she says it. So let's look at what people are actually saying, how we can achieve it.
Well, hang on, both of you. I want to bring Sean in. He's waiting ages. Sorry, Sean. I do apologise. Sean, hi. How are you?
Hey, Niall.
Good, Sean. They want to reduce the traffic, the private cars in Dublin, by 40%.
So I've been doing a little bit of maths on this while I've been waiting for you to bring me on.
Okay.
So Ireland has 0.1% of the total world CO2 emissions.
Yeah.
Of that, 32% is from cars. We have 2.2 million cars. So that gives us, if you've got your fingers ready there, 0.00000000026. That's the impact percentage-wise of me driving. Mm. Now, to punish me for that driving, which has absolutely no effect whatsoever on worldwide CO2 emissions, I've had a tax increase, 50% fuel increase, a duty increase. Parking rates are up, the insurance is up, the cost of EV charging is up by over 200% in the last 2 years, and every single toll has gone up in the country. We get to the stage of critical mass where these things are grossly disproportionate.
And I agree with you. I agree with everything you've said, by the way.
Who will drive.
Well, look, we should not be encouraging, you know, the use of electric cars or removing cars to the road because we're going to save the planet and save the climate, because that's absolute bollocks, right? Okay, we all agree on that. Well, I do anyway. Some people might not. But the point that we have to consider is, you know, congestion. Because congestion is, leave aside your CO2 emissions and everything else. You know, what's the point in sitting in your car for an hour when you can get a bus that will take you 10 minutes? That is not the point, Stephen Fagan.
Well, the biggest issue I have with this one, you take our family, for example, we have to drop the young one off to creche after 8 because they don't open till 8 o'clock and then be into the city centre before 9. Bus won't work for us. But the simple fact of the matter is we hit a critical volume here at this stage. There are only so many people you're going to get out of cars, onto bikes and onto buses. And once you hit that number, you're not going to push it any further. And we're investing so much money now to get an extra 1 or 2% out of the cars into bicycles. And you've heard the last callers, forget about your storms 12 times a year. I'm sitting here at the moment in Drogheda in the absolute piss in the rain, and there's not a hope I'd be cycling or getting a bus in it, because you know what? The workplaces don't have showers. They don't have a place to change, and I don't want to be that bloody miserable.
Yeah, I neither do I, by the way. Can I just point out? Yeah.
We have car drivers that need them.
Yeah, sorry, Steve.
I was watching something the other day, a show on YouTube. It's called Yes Theory. And it's a bunch of lads who go all around the world and, you know, visit mental places. Well, not mental places, but places, you know, that are not the average. And one of the places was this, it was minus 36 all year round. And the ground was iced up. And it would be pissing down snow one minute, and then your eyebrows would be frozen off you the next. Driving in a bit of rain, or sorry, cycling in a bit of rain, is not that difficult in comparison to what other people around the world have to do. We are absolutely comfortable.
You're grand in saying that, but why do it? I'm like Sean. I would rather sit in the comfort of my car at 23 degrees and listen to the radio rather than cycling in the pistons of rain.
So here's the thing. You would rather be comfortable and lazy than to see a city progress. You would rather stand in the way of progression.
I'm not lazy, by the way. Can I just point out? I work very hard.
Just so you can sit on your arse in a car and be comfortable and go, oh, look at me in a car? No, Niall, that's not fair. It's not fair on the rest of the city. I mean, there's people who live in the city centre who have to put up with that crap there 24/7. You only have to look at the hospital, the children's hospital that's going to be built. There's no way an ambulance is going to be able to get in and out of there.
But that's a whole other argument. They built their hospital in the wrong place. Anyway, that's a whole other argument.
Absolutely. But there's nothing we can do about it now. It's built. It's up there. So my point is, if we reduce traffic massively, I would say more than before. Is it 40% there?
40% they want to reduce it. Yeah, sorry, Sean. They want to reduce traffic by 40%. And the way they'll do that is a congestion charge into the city. I don't know, maybe a tenner like in England, like the ULED charge in the UK. They will remove all the parking spaces from the city, you know, around kind of Stephen's Green and everything else, all those parking spaces. Most were nearly gone anyway. Maybe close a couple of the car parks. And they also will ban cross-city traffic.
And then they're going to tell us not to use the M50, and if you do, there'll be an additional toll. They'll tell us you can't use the car parks in the city centre because of the weight of the cars, the new EVs. And where do you draw the line and say, we are suffering enough with cost of living everywhere we turn, whether it be the car, the shopping, DSB bills. No matter what we do, there's another penny taken from my pocket for another NGO or for another. That word progress Stephen just used. How is this progress? Show me where the progress is in a society by getting rid of traffic out of the city, by getting rid of cars out
okay.
of the city. What about the people?
Okay, let me ask you this, Sean. If what I said to Niall just there earlier on, let's say we did get rid of all the traffic out of the city except for deliveries and emergency services, we pedestrianised the whole thing. Right now, hold on a second. And we invested into public transport heavily, where it was like say the Tokyo, you know, where things are on time all the time. You have buses, trams, underground tubes. If you had all of these things, would you not say that the city would be a better place then?
If I could give in now the city reliably in public transport that was fast, efficient and cheap, I'd do it. But you know what? Do I think this government
will do that? So then what's your problem?
30, 40, 50 years. So the problem is they're forcing people out of the cars now without that world-class system you're talking about.
Yeah.
I mean, the trains run better in your favourite country, Ukraine, right now than they do in Dublin. So
absolutely.
I like that.
Your favourite country.
Yeah, thanks for that. A little bit patronising, but however. my point remains the same, is none of you have an issue with the overall...
But you're saying that to everybody. You said it to me, and I kind of agreed with you too, Steve. you can't turn around and say, if you have this utopian public transport system, would you use it? Of course, most people probably would. A lot of people, some might not, but most people probably would. But we're not going to get that utopian system because we've been talking about this for years. And we're still in the same situation. How long are they planning on building a metro? How long? The word metro has been mentioned for the last 20 years and we still haven't laid a single track.
Niall, we have money-hungry, grabbing bastards in government. That's all we have there. We need people who are going to represent the people and to put plans like this forward and get them done fast, because we know, I heard you only not too long ago say things like, this is one of the richest countries in the world. You're absolutely right. This is
per head of population. Per head of population, yeah.
And we could do huge amounts of progress if we only stop those arseholes in power and put real people in power. Not these robots, not these people who just want to line their own pockets. We can have the infrastructure there. Nay saying it constantly, saying, no, no, sure, we'll never have it, we'll never have it, we'll never have it. That's bollocks. We will have it someday, as long as people get off their arse and actually fight for it.
I'll start using it someday. Yeah,
but they eventually have it. We'll move from our cars. Until then, stop.
Yeah, so somebody did text in, and by the way, it said Sean is wrong in relation to the CO2 emissions. No, look, Sean gave you an approximate. I don't know the exact figures. It doesn't matter anyway. If we took every single car off the road in Ireland and closed down every single business that used fossil fuels in Ireland, it would be like walking onto a beach, removing a grain of sand and expecting the tide not to come in. A load of shite.
Mm-hmm.
I think we'd all agree on that. Let me just go to Nuala. Nuala, hi.
Oh, yeah. You know, I lived in Copenhagen way back, and it's similar to Dublin. But, you know, the interesting thing is, I just Googled how many cars is in Denmark, and it's 4.5 million.
Yeah.
Now,
what's the population? But what's the population in Denmark?
About 5 million, about similar to ourselves. But in Copenhagen itself, there's 39% of people cycle to work. Now it's flat, and the cycle lanes are wide enough so that people can pass each other, and they're on the wider streets. You know, like, say, you could easily take half of the path off both sides of O'Connell Street to have a decent cycle lane. I don't know what the heck they're at, but to have the paths in O'Connell Street are about the size of the room I'm living in. What the hell is that about?
But they do that in France too. Like, if you walk down the Champs-Élysées, they have these wonderful wide footpaths with, you know, people sitting out drinking their coffees. Mind you, you wouldn't sit out and drink your coffee on O'Connell Street. You'd be robbed.
I mean, it'd be robbed off you if you did. Anyway, so, like, I mean, I used to live in Dublin and I used to cycle from Kilmacud right into, you know, go to Georgia Street, which is wide enough for a good cycle lane on both sides as well.
Mm.
And Dame Street is wide enough for a decent cycle lane on both sides without having to interfere with the traffic at all. You know, like, if Copenhagen, which is built on kind of lucky canals as well as being a big port as well, and having, if they, and at the same time, you see, then you have Jutland, which is part of Denmark, which is a farming area. And I was thinking, well, that must be where the people have cars because they live down side roads and by roads. I know a woman, I worked in a medical device company, you know, and there was people coming from Swinford and from Foxford and from Ballinrobe because they couldn't afford to live in Galway. So they had to move out to Headford, miles, 20 or 30 miles away to come into medical device companies in Ballybrae. They're not going to cycle down the road and drop off Bridgie, like, you know, who's going to school, and Mary, then let's go on to something else, and the baby has to be put off in the creche. They cannot do that. You're going to stop. If you go to that extreme, a lot of women in this country would not be able to work. They'd be back into the kitchen.
Yeah, no, I know, I understand that. That's the point that Sean was making earlier on, that he has to drop his kids off at school first, yeah, or to the creche or whatever, yeah.
And I think people have to, we're completely different to most, like in most mainland Europe, people live in apartment blocks, mostly.
We live in houses, yeah.
And we live in one-off houses. Like, if you were living down the side road in Clare, Galway, and you have to walk out to the Tuam Road at 6 o'clock in the morning to get the bus, you know, that's about 20 minutes, and then you have to get the bus, and then you have to go into your clean room and gown up and all the rest, and then kind of maybe pick up kids in the evening. You can't do that on the bus.
No, no, no. I understand how inconvenient public transport can be for a lot of people. And by the way, there's an element here. Sean made a good point in relation to choice. You know, you might want to just sit in your car, even though it might take an extra 15 minutes because you're going to be stuck in traffic. But we have created the traffic problem, as you rightly said, Nuala, by putting cycle lanes in stupid places. There's a cycle lane that runs from Dunleary right into town. And it, I know one part of it, for example, in Monkstown there, I very rarely ever see anybody on it. And I what I saw there, and the cycle lane is, are you familiar with the one, Sean, around Monkstown there? They have these kind of steps.
Yeah, should they, again, with that one in Monkstown, they put one in on the N11, and now they're putting one in the Rock Road, and each of the feeder roads then on Nutley Lane, on Newtown Park Avenue, Fosrock Avenue, they've a lane on each one of those. And I don't know if you've been around there recently, but traffic from 8 o'clock in the morning to 4 o'clock in the evening is like rush hour traffic because of all the bike lane works.
Well, I Nuala rightly pointed out, even around Monkstown, there would have been enough room on the footpath to shorten the, you know, narrow the footpath slightly and put a cycle lane in. They didn't have to take up the road to do it, but they did, and they put this step on both sides of, there's a cycle lane on each side, and they have a step where the traffic runs down through the middle, right? One single lane of traffic. It's a disaster. And then what I see is cyclists, not in the cycle lane, but on the road. You know what I mean? It just doesn't make any sense.
I think they missed an opportunity there. They could have had those bike lanes running through an awful lot of the estates like Springfield and Holly Park, where you keep the bikes off the main roads. They're walking through nicer estates where there's less chance of them getting hit by cars or anyone else. It's safer, it's cleaner, and it doesn't affect traffic. Same with the one down Dean's Grange along Graveyard. They could have put the cycle park up through the Graveyard and out on Newtown Park Avenue. It would have been cheaper, safer, and better for everyone. You've got the houses there along Dean's Grange Road for the disabled people, the older people, the cottages who have all lost their parking spots outside their own houses. It just beggars belief. And then they install these barriers that within 6 months are in tatters and are causing trip hazards. You know, they're an eyesore on everything, and everyone's sick and tired of it. Everyone just thinks it's gone too far, too soon, without, like Steve says, this Tokian utopia that doesn't exist in Ireland at the moment. It's cart before horse. Green Party trying to punish us as much as they possibly can.
Well, you know, we all know the answer to that in the local, European and general election. Just don't vote for them anymore.
But you know what's the problem too? It's the guys from the NTA and the TFI. They're all guys who have flexi time, who can work from home, and who have free parking wherever they work. So, because I've been at meetings, and they're guys making decisions. I said to them, why don't you go to Copenhagen and see what they do there? Get a junket and go over there for a few days and just say you're only going to use public transport for the few days that go. Then they'd learn something instead of going down to the bar and having a few drinks.
The funny thing is, I actually rang today. I rang Dublin City Council and the executive manager of traffic, who made a comment online in relation to this. Brendan O'Brien is his name, who's the man, you know, who thinks this is a wonderful idea. And when I rang the city council, the head office, which I'm assuming is the one on the quays there, the big, huge, you know, that horrible looking building. Anyway, when I rang, the person at reception had no idea who he was and had no contact for him, no contact number, couldn't put me through to him and didn't even know where he was. So she said, you'll have to send a letter to their media or something like that. So there you go. Didn't even know who he was. Anyway, listen, thank you very much indeed, Nuala and Sean. I appreciate you coming on the air to talk to us. By the way, I have loads and loads of WhatsApp messages here. And you can send them in any time if you want to. Let's just play one or two of these if we can.
Man, what about if you're going in to do, we'd say, your Christmas shopping or Santa shopping or whatever, and you have bags and bags? You're not going to fit that on your knee on a bus. People need the comfort of their car for those kinds of things. Now, I'm a nervous passenger. I've been trying to drive for years, can't do it. I prefer using public transport, but I'm just one bus away from town. It suits me perfectly fine. Or one train. So that suits me. But that doesn't suit everybody. But like, if I have to go into town and do a heavy shop, I'll break it up over 2 weeks so I can get half this week and half following week, because I know I won't be able to carry all the bags. Plus, when you're walking to your bus and you're waiting for public transport, sometimes buses don't show. But Eamon Ryan needs an absolute head checkup, seriously.
Hi, Niall. Thank you for your show. I am an avid listener to your show, and I do believe the government are systematically destroying our once beautiful Dublin city and city centre, and purposeful by their Green Party policies and their immigration tents, and they're allowing people to sleep and shit on our streets and beg in every corner. Then when it's beyond the place anyone safely visits to shop or sightsee, property prices will collapse and income. The vulture investors from overseas, as in 2007 to 2011 and back in the 1980s, etc., plan destruction for future investors. All for the big boys.
Ah, Niall, Saoirse, she's absolutely living in loopy land. You have to be there to experience what the problem is, so I think we should just search her up. Cheers, pal.
I actually believe in Saoirse. She's 100% right. Since I got me car and gone tired of Belazy, she's dead right about that. People living in the towns walk down and walk down. So she's right.
Niall, until we get proper transport in the city, which I can't really see happening in the next 50 years, people will never, ever leave their cars. They will always stay in their cars. And until then, Mr. Eamon Ryan, in my mind, he will always have the emissions in the town because he's created all these long traffic lights, short green, long red. So now his emissions are going up, so his brain is backwards. And in my mind, I just think he's doing an absolutely disgusting and disgraceful job. I'm a taxi driver, I could go on, but I can't come on, I'm too busy. Cheers, pal.
Thanks very much indeed, Neil. Thank you to Sarah. Thank you to Jane. Thank you to Elizabeth. Thank you to everybody who sent in your voice notes there. By the way, some of the messages that are coming in. Is Saoirse Eamon Ryan's daughter, says Keith on WhatsApp. I don't think so. Sorry, I was trying to impersonate her. Hey there, love the show. You're all talking about getting cars out of the great city. But what about people that can't use public transport due to disabilities? Never thought of that, by the way. That was something to mention. It's grand using public transport if you can hop on and off a bus. But some disabled people need to use their cars due to their disability because public transport isn't easy to use, says Rob. Yeah, you've got a good point there, Rob. We tend to forget, sadly, about people and when we put infrastructure in people with disabilities. Kevin says, by the way, no, Keith says it's Eamon Ryan and the Green Party's fault regarding the traffic in the city. There's a meeting tonight regarding blocking off the quays. The Green Party are lunatics. I'm not going to disagree with that. Eddie says, I cycle a lot. Up to date e-bike lights, indicators and everything are on it, stopping lights and so on. I've used it on trains as coaches. This is where the nightmare begins. They are only built to take a few, not so many, and pack trains not enough time to exit with them. In other words, they're not leaving enough space for people to bring their bikes on, you know, so you can kind of cycle and ride, or what's it called, that, but I don't know, stop and go or whatever they call it. I'm looking here as well. Deirdre says, an ex, honestly, who really believes this? When they produce these reports, they should be forced to prove where, when and how, the amount of answers and over what period of time. There is nothing that rings true about this or much of the polls they produce, just like the referendum polls. I couldn't agree with you more, by the way. Michael McNamara, by the way, on X and other, quoted a tweet from RTE and said, more misleading reporting from RTE, because RTE reported this story, to suit the government narrative. It's endless. 3,600 submissions were received by Dublin City Council, of whom 56% of those who travel by car agreed with the proposal. So, in fact, a tiny minority of the 0.5 million car owners in Dublin agreed. Yeah, only a tiny minority. The survey they did is complete and utter nonsense, because the majority of those people didn't drive that were actually in the survey. And then the rest of those public submissions, remember, they're public submissions. They're most likely lobby groups, so they're probably groups of cyclists. And only a while ago, when we were talking about the hate speech laws, and it was put to Leo Varadkar that the majority of public submissions disagreed with the hate speech laws, wasn't he the very one who said, ah, sure, we don't listen to them? You know what I mean? Oh, they're just kind of lobby groups. But yet we're listening to them now all of a sudden. And remember, the reason that we're sitting on the quays for half an hour is because of the Green Party in the first place. Because of all those cycle lanes everywhere and bus lanes everywhere and widening them and providing extra bus lanes and cycle lanes where probably they aren't really that necessary. So that's the reason why there is so much traffic in the city. Pedestrianising streets that didn't need to be pedestrianised, making one-way systems that didn't need to be one-way. They've destroyed the city because of this kind of urge to get more cyclists on the street. And realistically, it hasn't worked. They've got some extra people on the street cycling, but the majority are not going to cycle because of the weather in this country. If you're going into a busy office during the week for meetings or into work, you know, there might not, as somebody mentioned, be shower facilities. So you get pissed on the rain on the way into work. And no matter how good your rain gear is, you know, you're still probably going to get wet or get destroyed. And it's cold apart from anything else. I wouldn't be doing it, that's for sure. But then again, thankfully, I don't have to drive into the middle of the city. The furthest I have to go is to where the radio station is in Three Arena. Well, listen, thank you to everybody who got involved in the show. And please, please, please try and support us. We try to provide this open platform where you can have an uncensored opinion every single day. Tomorrow, for example, we will be talking about the government and who you're going to vote for in the local MEP elections for Europe and also the general elections. So we'll be giving you that opportunity tomorrow to come on and have your opinion on any of the politicians you like and tell us who you're going to vote for. But that comes at a cost. The cost is that we have to pay the bills. We don't particularly want to make money. There are three of us that work hard on the show, not including Steve, who gives a help out every now and again now, it seems. It's becoming more of a part of it. But there are three of us who work on the show for free. We don't get paid. But we did struggle to pay the bills last month, and we had to put our hand in our own pockets to pay those bills. We have hosting costs, electricity costs. We have a lot of costs. Licensing costs for all the software that we use that kind of puts all this on the screen and all that kind of stuff. Anyway, it's all really expensive. So please help us if you can. And the only way to do that is to subscribe to the podcast by going to nileboylan.com. There it is. There on the screen. nileboylan.com. You'll see it there. Please go there and subscribe. It's only $5.99 plus tax a month. And of course, that gets you get to see all of the previous interviews we've done, all of the previous shows, some of the stuff that we haven't streamed, some of the stuff that you haven't seen before. It's exclusive just on the video section, but you can get to see them all there. And you can do that by subscribing on the website. Or indeed, if you want to just do a one-off donation, please do that. Just go to our website and click on the donate button. If you click on, go into the menu, go to donate, and you can donate a fiver or 500 or 5,000 or 5 million if you have it. If you really want to support us. So please do that. Go to nileboylan.com. Thank you to everybody who supports us. It's been really interesting so far. And we look forward to talking to you again tomorrow at 12. Until then, have a great day.
The multi-award-winning Niall Boylan Podcast. Listen live on Facebook, YouTube, and all the usual live stream services. To get in touch, just WhatsApp or text 085-100-2255. The Niall Boylan Podcast. They told me to shut up. Available for download from all your usual platforms.